Welcome to the study of the book of Ruth. We divided Ruth into chapter 1 and 2 as the main section. The first is called The Family That Lost Hope. The second part is called Lifesaver. The verses in the first section are chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. Not a lot of verses, but a lot of truth. The book of Ruth takes place in what is called the dark and corrupt age of the Judges period. The society of Israel was in chaos and the individuals were doing all kinds of evil things as they pleased, and everyone knew that the nation was in chaos without a leader. There was no king in Israel, and individuals acted uncontrollably based on what they liked to do. In addition, Israel was suffering from a famine at the time, and even basic food supply was gone. Many people were starving, and it looked like there was a great crisis. There was a family of Israelites. The man of the house was called Elimelech. Elimelech couldn't stand the crisis and took his wife and two sons to another place to live, a place called the land of Moab. Now, that doesn't sound like a problem to us. They just changed their living environment. There was a famine in one place, so they went to another place to live, just like a city with poor employment, so they changed to another city to live. But the problem is, Moab was an enemy of Israel. The Moabites had treated the Israelites badly on their way out of Egypt into Canaan. The Moabites also invaded and dominated Israel for more than 18 years afterwards. The Moabites were so proud, arrogant, and prideful that God hated them so much that he said in Psalms 60 verse 8 that the Moabite is his washpot. We know that our God is love, but at the same time is also a God who is furious against sin. God is a jealous God, and God chose Israel to be a standard for the world, to be a light and salt, so that the world would see the faith of the Israelites and the glory of following the one true God. As a result, when the crisis came, there was no need for any principle of faith. They went to the house of God's enemy and went to make friends with them. Doesn't the book of Deuteronomy remind us of this? It is written plainly in Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 3, "Nor shall you make marriage just with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son." The book of Deuteronomy clearly states that obedience is blessed and disobedience is cursed. We can imagine the circumstances under which Elimelech would have risked being cursed by disobeying God. There's only one explanation: that Elimelech had fallen to the point of not believing God anymore. I don't believe it. You won't let me go. You want me to wait, but in a hurry and can wait no longer. I just want to solve the problem at hand. Brothers and sisters, how many times have we begun to doubt whether God will take care of our children because the difficulties are too great? We can't wait any longer and our faith is weak. Is God going to regulate our marriage? Is God going to open a door for me in my job and career? Maybe you have experienced God's goodness and waited for his faithfulness, or maybe you are in the process of waiting, or maybe you are desperate. What I'm trying to say is that every Christian grows in your faith through trials and testing. Hang in there and you will look back and give thanks to God for his goodness and marvel at his wisdom. The name Elimelech originally means "my God is king," but he did not let God be his king in his life. They did not trust God to care for them and provide for them in times of crisis. Crises in life are often the result of bad decision and irresponsible behavior. When we are not good at discernment, we often make wrong judgments and do not do what we should do, but instead we do what we shouldn't be doing. As a result, problems arise. Crisis after crisis. When one acts irresponsibly, not only do we face crisis, but others are also affected. That's what happened to Naomi's family, which is a real example. None of our lives will be smooth sailing. Some people have relationship problems. Other people will have marriage relationship problems. Some people have parenting problems. Some people have financial problems. Some people have health problems. Life treats people in a very different manner, regardless of gender, age, or status. On the one hand, we know that Life is unpredictable, but when a crisis arises, I know that behind this is called the hand of God leading us and guiding us. Wait and be still and worship at the Lord's feet. This is what the next verses from verse 6 to 22 is all about. Naomi woke up and she had to grab her saving grace, which is part 2, the lifesaver. Naomi's life was miserable. She faced crisis after crisis. She was desperately in need of salvation and she was in despair. She and her two granddaughters-in-law were preparing to return from Moab to Israel at the most difficult time. When she saw the hand of God at work, she was ready to return, trusting that God might take care of his own people. In a sense, Naomi was a woman of faith. As the Lord Jesus said about the faith of the mustard seed, it was small but unbroken, for she actually tried to hold on to God as a salvation in the most difficult times. So I want to encourage everyone, if you are in a tough situation right now, we pray with faith that God will open the way. Even if you are in the most difficult time, even you no longer have the heart to pray, hold on to God. Hold on to God who can deliver us out of every trials and tribulation. That's what the book of James says in chapter 5 verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. If anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. This is an encouragement to all of us as we continue to read the Bible. The Bible does not record how Naomi's husband and her two sons died. It only tells us that they died. The widows were left behind alone. A lonely old woman, probably not old at that time, but probably in a middle age, and two young widows. At that time, women were not productive and was impossible to find work. So it was not unreasonable for Naomi to want to dismiss her two daughters-in-law to their mother's house, fearing that they would die with her. One of her daughter-in-laws listened to Naomi and went back to her mother's house. The other daughter-in-law chose to stay with her. So it brings us to Ruth's attitude while facing the crisis. The declaration of Ruth in response to her mother-in-law is astonishing when she said, Ruth chapter 1 verse 16 to 17 says, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Most people look here and can see the filial piety or obedience of Ruth. I want to tell you that the focus here is not on a relationship between a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. It is on faith. You know, Ruth was a Gentile from Moab, a Gentile woman. The Moabites were believers of evil gods. They took people for sacrifice, and the Moabite king had won the battle and took their sons to be roasted in the fire with thousands of people watching. Ruth's mother's family had such a religious background. Even if such a woman was married to an Israelite husband, even if she held her husband's faith in high regard, can you imagine what kind of faith it would take to proclaim in such a high commitment? If not to be real, your kingdom is my kingdom and your God is my God. Such faith supported her to return to Bethlehem to gather sheaves of wheat for a living in a most difficult time. What kind of work is needed for the collecting of wheat? That is not work, that is actually begging, taking from those wheat that falls to the ground. Such faith supported her even though her father-in-law died, her husband died, her brother-in-law died. Her brother-in-law's wife went back to her own mother's house and her mother-in-law was suffering due to all these circumstances. But Ruth believed the word of the Bible, he who waits on the Lord will not be ashamed. God will never forsake them as widows and orphans. Ruth's proclamation was a mockery and challenge to the circumstances of that time. Brothers and sisters, even in a corrupt and perverted society, there are still people who turn to God, trust Him, and commit themselves to God. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 17 says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Are you such a person? Such faith supported her to think that God would always make a way for herself and her mother-in-law. Otherwise, she could not make such a proclamation. She would have said, I will follow whoever I married to. I will be born to Naomi's family. I will die a ghost of Naomi's family. But Ruth said, your kingdom is my kingdom and your God is my God. She identified the Lord God, not Naomi herself. Ruth identified the Lord as her God of mercy and grace, who is not easily angered, who is rich in love and honestly, as he has said to himself. This was true faith. This faith of Ruth was not the faith of sharing the suffering of a mother-in-law, but the faith of knowing the living God. Naomi also had a daughter-in-law named Orpah, who went back to her mother's house on Naomi's advice. Who was Orpah's child? Do we know? No, because it's not written in the Bible. Why is it not written? Because it is not worth mentioning. We have many mothers and fathers here. We have the same feeling in life, and we are more happy when our children are blessed than when we are blessed ourselves. I want to compare for you the blessed condition of these two women. Ruth's descendant was David. The king came out of her house. Then the king of the world, Jesus, came out of the line of David. Can you imagine any family more gloriously blessed than this family? You will read in the next chapter that Boaz prophesied to Ruth, saying, daughter, the Lord has blessed you, and your last grace will be greater than your first. Although Ruth knew that God would eventually save them, the exact method was not known. She did not know that she would later be married to Boaz, the rich man, or that she would be the great-grandmother of King David. What future is there in following Naomi? Ruth gave her whole life to her mother-in-law. Brothers and sisters, have something worth taking most of our lives to support. What Ruth chose was for the cause of faith. When reality and faith conflicts, what kind of choice will you make? We often say that God is love. What about love for God? What are you willing to pay for your faith? Ruth stood on the promises of God and understood that waiting on the Lord was not to be ashamed. Are we that committed to the promises of God? Some people ask that Ruth's mother family could also believe in God afterwards. We should not forget that at that time they were still in the Old Testament, and God's blessing was only for Israel, and those who could believe in God could only be the descendants of Abraham, the people of Israel. Now we have eternal blessing because of what the Lord Jesus gave his life for us. Today, we may not meet the challenges that Ruth was facing, but everyone has to face different challenges in life. What is pressurizing you today? Are you persevering? Are you suffering in weakness? What is the price that you are paying? Scripture records that after Ruth went back to Bethlehem with Naomi, when someone greeted Naomi on the way back, it led to a number of complaints from her. She said, do not call me Naomi. Naomi means sweet, but call me Mara. Mara means for the Almighty has made me suffer greatly. I went out full and the Lord brought me back empty. The Lord sent trouble on me and the Almighty made me suffer. If this is so, why do you call me Naomi? When we went out to minister, the Lord blessed our family and the Almighty blessed me greatly. And I heard such prayers, declaration all over. Every time we pray a sentence, the congregation below us will always say Amen. It was very shocking. What we heard today was the complaint of Naomi, which was also very shocking. The contrast was like a hammer, and all that came out of the hammer was bitterness and tears. Naomi lived in Moab for no more than 10 years. 10 years of witnessing their whole family being wiped out, and she lost everything. This family had lost all hope. The future was gloomy. This was not God's responsibility, though it was initially the result of her family's unbelief and their move to a foreign land. But on one hand, Naomi is describing the fact that God Almighty saw all this happening. There was actually quite a few things that happened, that some people saw the cruelty of what happened in their lives, victims of unjust treatment. We have seen people who have suffered under disaster, just like what I described. Naomi was not the only one who doubted God's love. Israel also doubted God's love. So they said in Isaiah 49 verse 14, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me and the Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. In a way, Naomi is right. God is the supreme ruler, and if God doesn't allow it, not a single hair will fall out of our head. So when we understand the love of God, we need to understand that the love of God is sovereign. When something happens that you don't understand, not everything has to be decided according to our understanding. We need to trust God's love for us. Experiencing the love of God is so to be done by faith, not by sight. We must not look at the circumstances, but we must trust in the love of God. Again, it is at such a time that we need to choose to have faith in God. Believe in the grace of God at all times. God's love and mercy abides forever during good times and bad times. Next week, we will see how God brought step by step not only material salvation for this family, but also spiritual abundance together with it. Finally, Ruth, an undeserving Gentile woman, great-grandmother of many generations of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, was blessed. Let us pray. Father, we praise you and thank you that we are able to study the book of Ruth. And I pray that, Father, you will open our eyes to understand your truth and help us to apply our faith in you based on what we have studied regarding how you have dealt with Naomi and Ruth's situation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.